The following she'er has been presented by Rav Yaakov Rappaport of South Bend, Indiana, and is brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center.
Today's she'er is going to be in Yevamos, Perek Shlishi, Arba Achin, Daf Chof Ches. I would like to share with everyone today a fantastic question and answer by the world-renowned Avnei Nezer. Now, before I ask the question and answer and see the practical halachic ramification, I would like first to ask the question, and then we'll go through the whole response and see how the Avnei Nezer uses this fantastic question to answer a great halachic quandary. The Mishnah says, Shloisha Achim, three brothers, Shnai Mehem Nisun Shtei Achoyos. Out of the three brothers, two of the brothers were married to sisters. So the Mishnah says that the Chomim Paskim, in such a case, Hari Elu Choltzois, if the two sisters fall to the remaining brother, both sisters need the brother to perform upon them chalitza. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Poiter, Rabbi Shimon says no, that both sisters go scot-free without any type of chalitza whatsoever. And the Gemara says, what's the reason, Rabbi Shimon, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Poita b'shteyem min ha-chalitza min ha-yim shenemar v'isha la-achoyisa lo-isikach litzror. It says you shouldn't take a woman on her sister litzror b'shah shenasu tzara zu lezu lo-yeh le-kuchen. Afila ba'aches mehen. You're not allowed to take any one of them independently. Rashi says, what's the logic for this? Why does Rabbi Shimon hold that both sisters go free without any chalitza whatsoever? So Rashi says, the reason they both go free, because Rav Shimon says, Iser achois zikuka ervo gemulei. The prohibition of achois zikuka. And again, let's remember, both of these sisters fell to one brother, and they are prohibited upon him through the concept of achois zikuka. He didn't marry any of them. They're zakuk to him. If the yeshika ain't zik, it's not really relevant at this point, but they're both zakuk to him. And therefore, there's an iser of achois zikuka. And says Rashi, the Rav Shimon holds that's an erva gemura. The Rachmana patra, the Rachmana patered an erva gemura from Yibum. V'kaim alei be'isser eishes ach. And if they would have further relations with her, there'd be an eishes ach. So both sisters go off scot-free. Frecht the Avnei Nezer, the bomb question, why do both sisters go free? Because of the isser of achois zikukasoi. Bishlema, the second sister should go scot-free, because after all, the second sister was an achoy zikuka to the first sister. Again, what happened? The Mishnah seems to say that both sisters fell in front of this one brother, but there's no sequence in the Mishnah if it was b'zu achazu or if it was vasachas. So the Avnei Nezer assumes that the Gemara is also talking about if they fell b'zu achazu. Now let's see. If the first sister Rachel fell to the brother, she was no problem, she wasn't an achay zikuka. Then Leah fell a month later to the brother. So only Leah should go scot-free. Why in the world does Reb Shimon pater Rachel? After all, Rachel, at the time of the Nefilah, was not an achay zikuka. We should just say the second sister goes scot-free because the second sister, the zika of the second sister, is a zika from Erva. That is the Avnei Nezer's question. Why is the both sisters scot-free? It should only be the second sister, because only the second sister started off with an iser of achois zukuka. Now, this question, we'll see an answer in a moment, but it's applied to a very fascinating halachic question. In Eben HaEzer, in Simin Aleph, Si'if Yud, the Mechaber brings a very relevant nowadays halacha, which is, we know, theoretically, according to Torah law, a person is allowed to have two wives. However, there is a cherem derabbeinu gershom. What is the cherem derabbeinu gershom? The cherem derabbeinu gershom was a special rule that the goyin, rabbeinu gershom, instituted that a person is not allowed to have two wives. Okay? Not allowed to have two wives. The reason being is brought down is because he saw that his door was having a lot of pritzis and a lot of hoilulis, And people were accustomed to have too many wives, and it wasn't healthy. It wasn't healthy for the marital Jewish family. So Rabbeinu Geshem said, we have to cut this out, and there's a cherem. Anyone who transgresses this and has two wives is over a cherem. The Shulchan Aruch details this halacha of having two wives, the isser of having two wives. And the Mechaber says, I'll read the Mechaber for you, Rabbeinu Geshem hichrim al hanose al ishtoi. Rabbeinu Geshem made a cherem, someone who marries an additional wife. Aval, the Mechaber says, very interesting. However, if the second wife, the marriage to the second wife, the motive of the husband by taking a second wife was not solely for his own pleasure, but was for mitzvah, dahainu, says the Mechaber, biyavama, if the second wife is yavama that fell to him, so then there is no cherem derabbeinu gershom. Why? Because Rabbeinu Geshem only said that you're not allowed to have two wives when the second wife is taken, and if the second wife is taken and it's shelo b'makom mitzvah. But if the second wife, in fact, is taken and it is b'makom mitzvah, Rabbeinu Geshem allows you to take a second wife. Why? Because the mitzvah of Yevama overrides the iser of having shtei nashim. That's Shitas Rabbeinu Geshem. The Mechaber goes on and says, Hu adin, the Ramah goes on, and says, Hu adin. If a person is married to a woman for Eser Shanim, we know the rule is that if someone is not a Bas Banim for Eser Shanim, he's allowed to take another wife. Why is he allowed to take another wife? The Ramah says, because it's B'mokka Mitzvah. Just like it's Mutter to take a Yivamo on your first wife because B'mokka Mitzvah, so too to take a second wife, if your first wife has not bore your children for 10 years, also, that's considered Mokka Mitzvah, and it's Mutter. So therefore, Rabbeinu Geshem is Mutter B'Mokka Mitzvah. That's the halacha. Now, you're going to ask me, that's not practical, Rabbi Rappaport. I understand it's not practical that someone takes a second wife of Mokka Mitzvah. However, well, I'll show you in one moment what is practical. The Ramah goes on and says further that if the first wife is Nishtatis, she becomes mentally sick, and she's incapable of having relations with her husband, right? And she's not cognitive of what's going on around her. So the halacha is you're also allowed to take a second wife on the first wife, which is very relevant. Someone is married to a woman and she gets sick, and the first wife is mentally ill, or she's in a coma, so on and so forth. So it is impossible to give such a woman a get. Why is it impossible to give such a woman a get? It's impossible to give such a woman a get because she has no das. And the rule is that we're not allowed to give a get to a woman who has no das. So what do? Could you take a second wife, yes or no? So the halacha is that you're allowed to take a second wife, but however, that's a condition. That's not like a yivama, or if your first wife didn't bore your children for Eser Shanim. If your first wife was nishtatis and she's mentally ill, then you're only allowed to take a second wife upon her on the condition you have something called a heter mea rabbanim. What is a heter mea rabbanim? Is when 100 rabbis sign a petition saying you're allowed to take a second wife. That's what the Ramah says. Now, there's an additional requirement the Bach brings down. The Bach brings down, and he brings from the Kolboy, right, which is also a Rishon, that when you want to take a second wife on the first wife, based upon the ruling of Nishtatis, you have to go to Beis Din and deposit a get and kesuba money to the Beis Din. You have to deposit a get and kesuba money to the Beis Din. The practice nowadays is thus. When a man is married to a woman and his first wife becomes sick or in a coma or is incapable of communicating because she's so sick, so you're allowed to take a second wife on the condition that you get a heter mei rabbanim, and additionally you deposit a get with demei ksuba in the Beis Din. Okay, so you're asking me what's the problem with that. The problem is as follows. The Kadmonim, the Tzemach Tzedek, is the first really to discuss this in Simen Samach Zayin. What we know, that ksuba money could be quite expensive, and since ksuba money is quite expensive, it's going to be extremely hard for the Baal to deposit that ksuba money in Beis Din. For example, Rav Moshe holds that ksuba money, it could be could be up to $35,000 in the year 2014, according to Rav Moshe. If that's true, someone who's not so wealthy, who's indigent, he doesn't have money, and he wants to marry a second wife on his first wife, he would theoretically have to deposit $35,000 in bezin. That's extremely difficult for a person to do. So how do we remedy the situation for the person and enable him to take a second wife based on the heter Rubein or Gershom of giving a get and the ksuba money in bezin? He can't afford the ksuba money. So the Tzemach Tzedek says a tremendous chap. He says, listen, you don't really have to give the ksuba money in bezin, but bezin could act as an agent for the wife and sell the ksuba to the husband. The husband could buy, right? He could buy the right in the ksuba, which is a halachically mutter, meaning like this. A woman who has a schus in a ksuba, right? She has a tzad to get a ksuba. If the husband dies or something happens to the husband, the wife can market that and sell it to a third party and say, listen, I have a chance of winning ksuba money. My husband could divorce me or he could die. And I need the money now. I need cash. And she could sell a ksuba. So a woman could sell her schus ksuba. So says Tzemach Tzedek, so too, when acting in conformity with the chirim regen gershon by depositing the get and the ksuba money in bezdin, you could actually deposit not the actual ksuba money, but the $35,000, like we said. But you could deposit a schum, an amount of money that would serve as a mechira, as the mei mekach for the ksuba, as if the husband purchased the ksuba from the wife. And purchasing the ksuba from the wife is as if you're paying it, because what it does is it ensures that she's not going to be left without ksuba because she doesn't have the rights to have the ksuba. So instead of depositing the ksuba, you buy up the ksuba from her, so to say. That's what the Tzemach Tzedek says, and that's what he suggests. However, this Eitzah is discussed in the Avnei Nezer. Now, how does this Eitzah have to do with our first question we asked? I'll tell you why. The Avnei Nezer, he asked a fantastic question. He says, listen, I don't understand. Why in the world are we worried by this man taking a second husband? And why in the world did Rabbeinu Gershom require a heter meir rabbanim in the case when your first wife is nishtatis? After all, says the Avnei Nezer, the Rabbeinu Gershom did in fact hold that b'mokum mitzvah, by a yuvama, that a person does not need a heter meir rabbanim. So too, if the first wife didn't bear children for 10 years, you don't need a heter meir rabbanim. Why? Because the second wife is mokum mitzvah. And if the second wife is mokum mitzvah, so then the halacha is that you're allowed to take a second wife. So if that's true, says the Avnei Nezer, when the first wife in the status, that means she's so mentally ill, she can't have children with you right now. You can't, Enoch and Ami, she's not a woman, didn't have children for 10 years. And she's not and the second wife is not a Yavama, but the first wife, you can't have Piri Rivia right now. And there is an Indian of Piri Rivia. There is an Indian to have children. There is a mitzvah to have children. And he cannot have children with this woman right now. So says the Avnei Nezer, why is that not considered makom mitzvah? Because you're getting married to the second woman in order to have children. Having children's a mitzvah. That's the Avnei Nezer's question. Fantastic question. So he says, listen to his answer. Ingenious. He says that no, it's not makom mitzvah. Why? Why is the second person not makom mitzvah? Because he says the first person, the first woman, actually is b'mokum mitzvah. Why? Because if the second woman remains with you while the first woman heals herself and she gets better, because the first woman could get better, the first woman could get healed, the first woman could become alive again and mentally healthy again. And if the first woman becomes mentally healthy again, so then there's no mokum mitzvah. That's his answer. If the woman becomes healthy, there's no mokum mitzvah. But then he says, what do you mean? If that's true, why is the Isser of the Cherem Ben Gershom on the second woman? It should be on the first woman. Because after all, when you married the second woman, it was B'mokum Mitzvah. Then the first woman becomes healthy. So if the first woman becomes healthy, she is over the Isser of the Cherem Ben Gershom. Because what's the Isser of the Cherem Ben Gershom? Is taking a woman on your wife. You have a wife and you're taking a woman on your wife. So when you took the second woman, it was B'mokum Mitzvah, that was fine. When the first woman become healed, to remain with the first woman, that's not b'mokum mitzvah. Why? Because you have a wife already. You have the second woman that had a heter of b'mokum mitzvah. So he says, you don't say that. You don't go back and forth. I mean like this. He says, and when we don't know who's the b'mokum mitzvah, both fall away, and there's no heter at all to stay married to both of them. And he brings that from our sugya. How does he bring it from our sugya? Because that's the answer to the kasha we asked in Rabbi Shimon. How could Rabbi, we asked at the beginning of the class, how did Rabbi Shimon say that both women go off scot-free because of the erva like Rashi says of achos zukukosoi? I, the first woman, wasn't an achos zukukosoi when she fell. The answer is, granted she wasn't an achos zukukosoi when she fell, and we should really say the second woman should go free because of an achos zukukosoi. But, however, now, who do we label as the bad achos zukukosoi? We don't know who to label. Who do we label the first one? We label the second one. If we don't know who to label, we see from the Gemara, both go. So we don't know who to label the achos zukukosoi, who the evil one is, even though there's one that was really first. So too, he says that when we talk about time, who was first, who was second, it's irrelevant, says the Avnei Ezer, we see from our Gemara. It's irrelevant who was the first achos zukukosoi. So too, it is irrelevant who is the second wife. Was it the second wife who was the Mokka Mitzvah at the time that you took her, or was it the first? Or was it the first wife who became healed and rejuvenated herself and became not b'malka mitzvah? And therefore, says the Avnei Ezer, that we're chozer chalila, and in both scenarios we say they're over an iser, and we require a heter of meir rabbanim. And says the Avnei Ezer, if that's true that we require heter meir rabbanim, so this is not a regular din of b'malka mitzvah, and therefore, by buying the ksuba shouldn't be enough. We should have to have a real ksuba there because, after all, really, the first woman deserves her ksuba money.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.